Moore.
Yes, thank you.
I have a public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is time and place for a public hearing on numerous proposed ordinances before County Council. The planning, zoning staff, and legal staff will come forward, give explanation of those. There's going to be numerous public hearings, so it'll be handled one at a time and then addressed one at a time. However, the rules will be the same for all of those after the legal staff gives an explanation of what is proposed by that ordinance. At that point, there will be an opportunity for the County Council to ask any questions of the legal staff and planning zoning director. Subsequent to that, there will be an opportunity for the public to comment. If any member of the public would like to comment, please come forward, state your name and address, sign in on the sheet that's at the podium, and then make your comments to County Council. After the public hearing is closed on that matter, and before we move on to the next, the County Council does have an opportunity to either vote on it or defer it. So at this point, Ms. Cornwell and Mr. Robertson.
Thank you. So the first item on today's agenda under public hearings is setbacks for small, legally non-conforming lots. It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Sussex County Code. What we've noticed is there are a lot of small lots that have 50 feet of width or less that are less than, or 10,000 square feet or less. We've had hundreds, if not thousands, of those go to the Board of Adjustment because it's difficult to build a house on them. So what we'd like to do is reduce the setbacks to allow for a house to be built without actually having to go through the path of receiving a variance from the Board of Adjustment. It takes up a lot of staff time. It costs the applicant $400, a couple of months to get onto a public hearing. For something that, you know, we actually have some 30-foot wide lots in this county that are, you know, 5,000, 6,000 square feet. So we're just trying to recognize that we have some issues, and we'd like to address that to make it a little bit easier for people to build on their property. So the Planning Commission held a public hearing February 22nd. They didn't see any concerns with it. They did recommend a few edits. Since then, we've actually got a few additional edits regarding the application, but the Planning Commission did recommend approval of this change in the ordinance.
Just briefly, the ordinance, what it did was it took, as Janelle stated. Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
You're doing a fine job.
This ordinance said that it was for legally non-conforming lots, and we've changed that language a little bit, less than 10,000 square feet or that has less than 50 feet of frontage. The side yard setback shall be reduced to 5 feet, and the front and rear yard setbacks shall be reduced by 5 feet. And as Ms. Cornwell stated at the commission level, they moved that forward with some recommendations. Staff, and I don't know if you want to explain that, talked about instead of on the front yard having a measurement, it would be an average based on what's on that street.
So right now it was just a flat reduction. Well, after the Planning Commission public hearing, we determined, or staff looked at it, and it's like an average front yard setback, so that way you'd have, if say the front yard setback is 30 feet and a house over here is non-conforming, it's at 25 feet and the house over here is at 20 feet. If we allowed, you know, 15 feet, well, that you don't have all the houses in a row. So if you do an average, which we actually do have in a different section of code, you do an average of the houses within 300 feet on the same side of that road, that you then, the houses all kind of have the same frontage. So they're not like jutting out back and forth. So they all look like you have one nice aesthetic street frontage, sure, along the road. And we'd like to do that as an average, but have a minimum that you have to have at least 5 feet of road frontage of a front yard setback. There is one development that actually has a setback that is 5 feet. So we'd want to make sure that there is a development that you have at least 5 feet of a front yard setback.
Is there any way somebody can use this in any of these ordinances, actually? So go to the Board of Variance and get an approved a lot that's too small, and then all of a sudden come back and apply for smaller setbacks? Or is there any way that they can circumvent and manipulate this, do you think, at all?
I would hope not.
With our code, it allows?
It talks about the change we've proposed, existing approved lots. So that would be a lot, theoretically, that's in existence,
right,
at the time somebody applies. theoretically, somebody could approve, seek a variance for a smaller lot, I suppose, and go that route, but it would be hard, not impossible, but difficult to prove the standards necessary for a variance.
Well, like in a manufactured housing park where the developer's left off a chunk of land and everything's all these older non-conforming lots, and he wanted to come in and take this final little piece, and then, which was maybe one parcel, and chop it up into parcels that would be the same as what they've got elsewhere.
That would actually require variance from the Board of Adjustment, because anything new, so you might have something that's not conforming, but anything new actually has to comply with code.
If there's a way to wiggle around it, there's people around here that'll find out how to do it. I'm just curious if we've left any big doors open to...
The likelihood of that's there, it's fairly minimal, but versus the problem that it solves, which is fairly large in scope with what the Board of Adjustment sees. What we do need, I was going to say just before we go forward, we need some direction from you all as to whether you want to go the averaging route or if you want to go just the flat measurement on the front yard setback, because that depends on how we approach this in terms of...
Well, the recommendation from staff is averaging.
Correct.
Yes.
That was my question. Would it be an or, so I could take 5 feet or the average?
No, it would just be a flat out average. Yeah. And your minimum is you have to have at least a 5 foot front yard setback.
But they couldn't opt for the 5 foot when everybody else is at the average.
Correct. You'd have to, so you can't go, I want 5 feet and everybody else is the average is 15. Your front yard setback would then be the 15.
Okay. So you can't have it both ways is what you're saying?
Yeah. So it's a mandatory, what you're requesting is a recommendation of a mandatory average?
Average.
That's a question.
Right? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Like
so the intent is we've got a lot of small lots. A lot of variances have already been approved in the developments. So the front yard setbacks don't meet the current code anyhow because variance has been granted. So instead of saying, this is your front yard setback, you do an average. You go, okay, this guy got 20, this guy got 22, this one got 24. The average of all of those, and that is what the front yard setback would be for that for the new parcel.
They can't exceed that.
Correct.
Right. They can go less still if they want.
Right. They could go 25, right. But they couldn't go 20.
But for instance, if they bought a unit that was could be this length or this length, I guess they could opt. They know they could fit it if they, know the numbers, I guess, and stuff.
Well, and this is just for the front yard.
Yeah. Okay.
And we do have that in the code right now. What it says in the code is that if it's an existing or relocated lot, you can do the averaging.
How do you relocate a lot?
A building.
Sorry. Oh, a building. Okay.
So if you had like an old farmhouse and you relocate it, that's what it says now, and it's been used, but it's rare. And what we've kind of done in this kind of new amendment would be to strike the existing or relocated building, or just say building, so that if someone was coming in and wanted to put if they've got a 50 by 100 foot lot, their neighbors have had their homes on there for a long time, and everybody's 25 feet from the front property line rather than 30 feet, they could go to the average of the 25.
Mm-hmm. I bet when you got a bend in the road.
Got a bend in the road?
Well, no.
Sometimes when you got a bend. When you got a bend in the road, sometimes it throws off balance that way. I've been in that.
You have to come from the road.
Well, I've done the experience. Well, he said, want to kind of keep them in line, want to look at them, and you look down the road, want to see if they're all raised straight.
Well, what we do is we typically, when we see the surveys before the board, it's from the closest point. So they'll use that for the averaging, I would believe.
Well, I've been down this experience a little bit.
The house will have to get curved.
And I've had a bend in the road. I had to move back off. I moved back 40 feet. Then the house would be out of line.
It's still as proposed, and the average would be keeping it more in line than if we just gave them a blanket setback, because that way then they're all similar and you don't have one jutting out or jutting back.
Yeah.
So there might be a couple of feet here and there, but that's less noticeable than 5 or 10 feet back mm-hmm. and forth between the front of the house.
Yeah, it makes sense, I think.
We also wanted to point out, and I think you alluded to it, that there'd be the amendment would also include provisions that this would not apply. We removed the 50-foot road frontage requirement. It's just for lots that are 10,000 square feet or less, because you may have cases where the road frontage is 50 feet and then it expands out and it's actually a very large parcel. So it's really a lot size issue more than necessarily a road frontage issue. And then the second part of that is we were also looking at, there are RPCs or cluster subdivisions, and these would not, this relief would not apply in that context because they've got their own rules.
Okay. Any more questions to the council?
If there are no other...
Because we have to have the public...
We sure do. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this first ordinance?
Just stand off the side.
Yes, won't you come forward, please?
Now, with this ordinance, I'm not exactly sure whether this is the side yards with the 5 feet on each side. Mr. Chair? Yes. Is at the Board of Adjustment hearings for the undersized lots coming in all the time for different variances for air conditioners, steps, ramps, or not ramps, but steps, anything to go into the 5 foot setback, is if you allow the lots to go to the 5 feet as the standard practice. Now, if it's a 40 foot lot and they want to put a 30 foot house on there, that 5 feet on each side, are you then going to allow them to come in for a variance for a 4 or 5 ton AC unit to go in that 4 foot setback, 5 foot setback to the property line to have everything on top of it going through? If you're going to make it to 5 foot, because I'm just trying to understand from watching the hearings, somebody buys a, take it a different step, a 50-foot lot. You go put on a 50 by whatever, say 75-foot lot, you want to build a 3,000-square-foot house, two- or three-story house, take it all the way to that 5 foot. Now, where do you want to put your AC unit? And your add-ons on the outside showers, the stuff that encroaches into the 5 foot from the property line. If you give the five, if you give it and set this up, is that considered, is there a way to put in it that if they're building from new construction, it's not a hardship for them to say I'm coming in for hardship because I need to put something in that 5 foot when they're starting with a blank slate, a blank area for a lot? They know what they bought, they knew what area to work with. Should they now be able to inconvenience the neighbor next to them that may want to go to the 5 foot exactly and have a bedroom 4 feet away from that units, or the inconvenience of not having room to walk around the property? Somehow it comes back with Board of Adjustments if you go into their rules and regulations with this hardship and everything else like that, just trying to get it all to make sense. What is a hardship? What should be permitted? But somehow if you can lock it in, where if you have that in the envelope to stay inside what you can build in, if you're allowing and giving it to make it easier and save the residents the money, you may as well make it go both ways.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in reference to this proposed ordinance? Anyone else? Yes.
Can you guys address that? I mean,
actually, I can. There's actually a proposed section that says for any lot with side or rear yard setback reduced by the operation of 115-183D, no structures shall extend or project closer than 5 feet from the lot line. So that would address that nothing can encroach, and you get 5 feet, and everything needs to comply with 5 feet. No structures can be closer than 5 feet from the lot line.
And those structures,
the side.
Yeah,
the side and rear.
Side
and rear.
Because there's already a provision that doesn't allow anything to encroach more than 5 feet into your front yard.
And a structure is what?
A structure is.
Well, it could be a dwelling, could be an HVAC unit. I mean, things that we usually will see for variances.
A shed, a deck, steps.
Steps.
But we use the term structure because it's more encompassing than if we tried to list anything.
So the steps can't go into the 5 feet as well.
Correct.
That's correct.
Nothing goes into.
Correct.
Goes over to 5 feet.
Overhangs can go over a little bit, but nothing, no structure. I mean, no HVAC,
no
decks,
showers.
No outdoor showers, no trash enclosures, no steps are going to be able to encroach.
And we put that language in there because there is a provision that allows for, in the code, certain things to project into it. And we wanted to make it clear that if you're using this provision because you're a small, undersized lot and you're getting those reduced side and rear yard setbacks, that we're not allowing you to project those other things into it.
Okay,
so that was a way to clear that up.
Paul's comment of a hardship would not be, that would not be created as a hardship.
The standard we have is the hardship standard. It's an exceptional practical difficulty standard. That's the one that we have before it. That's a legal question if it were to come to the board. You know, it's possible somebody could seek a variance, perhaps, but, you know, we've, one of the things that we're looking at is now you're taking a lot that is no longer, and we're giving setbacks that are more likely for those kind of lots. We have setback requirements for lots that are, the minimum size is double in some cases what some of the lots we see are.
Okay.
So that's kind of the issue we have now.
Okay, thank you.
One question to council.
From the highway, you got to be back, what, at least 15 foot?
Depends on the
zoning classification, and again, typically from a state maintained road, it's 40 feet for a residential, and this again,
if the house is built into the house,
into your right.
But if the house is built in ways to the highway, where you need just 15 feet, is that 40 feet or 15 foot?
It's 40 feet.
I understand it was 15 foot.
Well, we also measure from the front property line, not necessarily the edge of the right or mm-hmm. the edge of paving. So there's often times where there'll be a gap in between that. We see that a lot.
That's the end of the house, correct?
No, just the front property line is what we measure from.
Well, I'm talking about end of the house.
I think what Mr. Wilson's referring to, if a house was turned sideways and the end facing the street as opposed to the front door, that would that change the measurement?
It's still 40 feet. Doesn't matter which side of the house is facing the road, that road is still the road frontage, and that still has a 40 foot setback.
So we've changed that, is that correct?
Not that I'm aware of. That has always been, no matter what side of the house faces the road, that is your front yard setback, unless you're a corner and you have two road frontages, and that's where you could get a 15 foot setback, is if you have two road frontages.
I'm talking about a corner.
So there is a provision in the code that recognizes a corner front yard setback, and that can be 15 feet. And your other one is still the 40 foot.
Still 15.
For a corner front yard setback.
The front one's 40, but the end one is 15.
Right. On the corner, depending correct? On how.
Yep.
Yes, if it's a corner.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you. And was there anyone else? I believe we'd gone through that. No one else wanted to speak on this matter. And Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this first matter.
So we actually have some proposed suggestions before we close the public record.
Okay.
One would be to delete 115-182E. 115-182C, strike new or relocated from the second line and the fourth line. 115-182C, add the following sentence at the end, which state no front yard setback shall be reduced pursuant to the subsection shall be reduced to less than 5 feet. The provision of this subsection shall not apply to any lot in a cluster subdivision, an ESDDOZ, environmentally sensitive developing overlay district, or a residential plan community. 115-183D, change pre-existing legally non-conforming lot to existing approved lot in the first line. 115-183D in the second line, remove or has less than 50 feet of frontage. 115-183D, add a new sentence at the end, for any lot with side or rear setbacks reduced by the operation of this 115-183D, no structure shall extend or project closer than 5 feet from the lot line. 115-183D, add a sentence at the end that states the provision of this subsection shall not apply to any lot in a cluster subdivision, ESDDOZ, environmentally sensitive developing overlay district, a residential plan community. Table 1, revised note 16 to state for any existing approved lot which is not located in a cluster subdivision, ESDDOZ, or a residential plan community and consists of less than 10,000 square feet, the following setbacks shall apply. The side yard setback shall be reduced to 5 feet. The rear yard setback shall be reduced by 5 feet. For any lot with a side or rear yard setback, setbacks reduced by operation of 115-183D, no structure shall extend or project closer than 5 feet from the lot line. The front yard setback may be reduced to the average front yard setback of the existing buildings located on the same side of the street or road and being within 300 feet of the structure provided. However, the front yard setback is not less than 5 feet. Any vacant lot within 300 feet of the structure shall be calculated as having the required setback for the district.
Anything didn't change?
Could you read that again, please?
Shouldn't we have, I'm serious. Should we have read that first so the public could comment on it? We've changed a lot.
Yes.
And you're doing it now at the public said time. There's no more public comment. We're like backwards here somehow.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
There's three here attorneys. Let's see what they say.
No, and that's a good point, Mr. Vincent. And that was one of the questions why we had whether it should be averaged or not. The issue we're also dealing with is that Section 182 and 183 are similar, so the same sort of language relates to both. You wanted us to, publish the changes so that people could see it, that would be something we could
do. I would point out that some of these changes were in the report from planning and zoning, which is similar to what we do from when we have a regular zoning hearing that someone comes forward. It's in the packet with the proposed changes by planning and zoning. There were, however, some additional ones that were made today. And the public hearing has not been closed yet. And if we wanted, I think it would be appropriate to say, in light of those proposed changes, to see if any member of the public would like to comment on that.
Sure. I'm just thinking, I'm only thinking the fact that we've heard them read this off.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not sure if all of us comprehend all they've said.
Absolutely.
And for the public to sit there and just hear you read it off and make a comment, it's going to be a little tough, I think, but...
So if I can, the main thing we changed was we had, for legal non-conforming lots, we changed that wording that had actually been changed at Planning Commission. I think we tweaked it slightly since then. We, instead of 50 feet rear frontage or less, or 10,000 square feet, we got rid of the 50 feet, and then we did the average. The rest of the changes, and we recognize that it should not apply to cluster, ESDDOZ, or RPCs, the rest of the changes came from Planning Commission, and they were in your memo. So those were the main changes from today from Planning Commission.
Yes. As the council desires, does any member of the public like comment?
From what they just
come
heard.
Forward.
Well, Mr. Kramer is walking forward. I will reassure council that this is the one that had the most significant changes after planning and zoning. The rest of them are fairly straightforward and minor.
Good.
I'm sorry, Dan.
We might need you up here to answer his question for him, Vince.
What's that, Mr. Wilson?
I said we might need you up here to answer his question.
Okay, I won't go far.
There's concern out there, it looks like.
It's all a big concern.
I'm only going to sign in one time. My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Sword Road, Greenwood. This gave me an opportunity.
Just stand a little bit so I can understand what you're saying. You're talking a little fast.
Oh, I am, Isaac.
You were in the auctioneer mood.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can talk a whole lot faster.
What the public hearing?
Anyhow.
You're not auctioneering off now.
Anyhow, now it gives me an opportunity. I want to know what happens. They were talking about the air conditioning. Good. What happens if somebody puts in a window air conditioner? Butts that into the side, doesn't it? So therefore, the person could never have air conditioning unless they put it on the roof.
Okay. Are there any additional comments?
Yeah, this guy right here wants to talk. You want to talk?
Bring Lardner.
Make sure you sign in, please.
Yes, sir. Bring Lardner, principal professional engineer with Davis Bone and Friedel. I listened to the ordinance amendment that was read, and I had a question regarding the ESDDOZ, and that this variance wouldn't apply to lots within that ESDDOZ. And my recollection of the code is that, or of the ESDDOZ, applies to many of the lots that I believe have requested variances. I understand it doesn't apply to new lots, but I want to make sure that the older lots that was still applied that we didn't exempt something out that we're actually trying to correct. So I just wanted to ask the staff and the attorney just to make sure that I did not misunderstand that, because that's a change that I didn't see, at least in the packet yesterday and everything else. I just wanted to make sure that I was clear that we weren't exempting something we're actually trying to fix, which I think this ordinance fixed a lot of the issues that I've seen at the Board of Adjustment and then presented, and I think it's a good one. So I just want to make sure that by doing that, we didn't actually do something we didn't intend to do that.
And you're comfortable
with that? Could someone from staff or attorneys answer the question, please?
I don't really know what the question was, but...
So if you're an ESDDOZ subdivision, you can go down to 7,500 square feet for your lot size, and your setbacks are 25, 10, and 10. That is an approved type of development. This proposed ordinance would not apply to that development. It would also not apply to an AR1 cluster development, and it would not apply to an RPC because RPCs, the council has the ability to create different setbacks. So an ESDDOZ and an AR1 cluster would still have the 25, 10, and 10 if they have water and sewer.
But if the lots that aren't part of that subdivision, clusters, or lots, and that ESDDOZ would be able to apply?
It's only for an ESDDOZ subdivision.
Got it.
Yeah. An ESDDOZ subdivision. It's not, it's only if that cluster subdivision type. So if you are an existing lot that happens to be in the overlay district, but you're not part of a, you were not designed as part of an ESDDOZ subdivision, you can apply for, this code would reflect that. You can. This would impact those small lots.
Okay. Is there, Moore, back to you again.
Yes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing at this time. If you desire the seeing the procedure to go forward, I would need to read the short title, and then those amendments would need to be read and voted on.
Sure.
And so I'll read the short title at this
point. We'll close public hearing and close public comments, okay, with
council? I just, because I thought about it, and he kind of reaffirmed my thought, and that was Dan, reference to the air conditioner, kind of follow up on IG's comment, reference to nothing on the ground can extend, mm-hmm. but anything in the air, i.e., you said overhang on the roof.
There is a provision
decks,
for overhangs, but
air conditioning units. I mean, there are other things that are raised up above the ground. So explain or clarify, if you would, on that.
So the window air condition, nothing can encroach into that setback. Now they could do it in the rear yard, and it depending on if they're maxing out and at the 5 foot, they need to comply with the 5 foot. But they have room in the front and the rear to do like the window AC units.
So the only thing that can protrude into the 5 feet is, to your comment earlier, is the roof.
Is the roof overhang.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a distance acceptable? Or is
there
it,
is, I just don't have it memorized, and my code is not.
Is it 6 inches? Is it 12 inches?
I believe it's a foot or less.
That's what I recall.
Okay. It's a foot or
but
less.
But there is a defined...
Yes,
number.
There is a section in the supplementary regulations that recognizes that.
Okay.
A window air conditioner is portable. I mean, it's not a permanent structure. Does that have any bearing?
No.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody's going to come in and report somebody brings to notice a neighbor saying, hey, my neighbor just put in a window air conditioner.
I don't even believe that shows up on a survey.
I don't think it's ever. And being that it's portable and just deemed to be temporary, I guess, window air conditioner.
But a cantilevered deck would not be allowed to
Correct.
Go into that 5 foot.
No type of deck, no steps can go into that 5 foot setback.
In the second level even?
Correct. And the second level actually has to comply with the principal structure setbacks.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title, and then we'll have somebody read all this stuff that we're changing.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 25, Roman numeral section 115-182 and 115-183 and table 1 relating to front, side, and rear yard setbacks in small, legally non-conforming lots.
I'll make a motion. Can we make a motion?
Then we would do the, would someone like to make the amendments of that, I guess would be the next question, and then she would read them.
You want to make a motion to accept the amendments?
I'll make a motion that we accept the amendments as read by
Ms. Cornwell.
Ms. Cornwell,
in the public record.
Zoning Director.
In the public record, yes. I have a second for that.
Second.
You got it. Second, Mr. Burton.
Okay.
Now then, being she's already read it in the public record, she's got to read it again?
No.
Okay.
We'll do it. I'll reread the short title as amended.
Okay.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 25, Roman numerals, Sections 115-182 and 115-183, and Table 1 relating to front, side, and rear yard setbacks in small, legally nonconforming lots as amended by the amendments read by Ms. Cornwell into the public record.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mr.
We
Cole.
Approve as amended.
Mr. Cole makes a motion. Mr. Second. Burton second. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
One down.
Okay. At this rate, Todd, you get dinner coming, buddy.
And the next one is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 28-115-222 relating to amendments of prior approvals.
So this is an ordinance to amend the way amendments of conditions of approval, typically for residential plan communities, RPCs, and conditional uses are addressed. Right now, the code recognizes that if the condition started and ended at Planning Commission, then the Planning Commission has the ability to amend that condition without a public hearing. And if the condition came from or was amended by County Council, then the application would have to go back through the public hearing process. This amendment would require any conditions, no matter how it started, that it would actually have to go back through the public hearing process. So Planning Commission did hold a public hearing on February 22nd of this year. At that meeting, they actually recommended denial of this application, of this ordinance change. They had some concerns about burdensome of process to the applicants.
So this is the one that basically makes any amendment to a condition come back to council. It does not apply to a change on a site plan that's fairly minor, and it does not apply to a condition that's on an approved subdivision, because subdivisions stay at planning and zoning. So as Janelle stated, if it's a conditional use or RPC and the ordinance has a condition on it, anytime that condition needs to be changed, it would have to come back to council. So, and I do know that there was David Hutt participated in the Planning and Zoning Commission's hearing. I think at that point he had some concerns about it, but also I think, and he's here to testify, he might have some changes to the language that he might discuss with you all as well.
So basically, it has to go somewhere, right? You got to go. Where's it go now? Planning and zoning.
Just if, so, if it originated, if a condition came through on a conditional use, and it was a recommendation from planning and zoning, and you all adopted that recommendation, because that condition originated at planning and zoning, somebody wants to change it, it would only go to planning and zoning. You all would never see that requested change. If a conditional use came through, planning and zoning made a recommendation for a condition, and then at the council level, council either changed that condition or imposed a new condition. Because council took that specific action, the way the ordinance is currently worded, the code's currently worded, that one would have to go back through the process as a new ordinance, through the commission, and to county council. This proposed ordinance amendment makes it so everything has to go to county council. There wouldn't be anything that just...
Yeah, because, I mean, when I get a recommendation from P&Z, I mean, it may be something I was concerned about also, or the council was concerned about, and we, you know, and not to have us have any input in it, I think would be wrong. So I like the idea that we, you know, the buck basically stops here.
I guess the way I approach it is I understand the commission's concern about the burden that it would place on applicants, because frankly, you know, some of the things are minor. At the same time, I also appreciate the council's position, because if you adopt a commission's recommendation, that's a decision just as much as a decision to impose a new condition. Either way, you know, it's a decision of council. And it's an ordinance as well, you know, that has to go back.
And once we adopt it, we own it, I think. I mean, it just...
I mean, I think this whole issue, I think, is the fact that P&Z sends us recommendations.
Bingo.
The council, the only ones can adopt those and put them in force of law.
Right.
And maybe something that they recommended, we felt very strongly about. But if it just came from them the way it is now, you can go back and change it, and we have no input.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
That's what I think we're trying to change.
I agree.
Great. Okay. If there are no further questions or comments from council, is there any member of the public that would like to address this matter today? Come forward, please.
Everyone wants to change it.
You get robots to do that, change it.
Robots?
Have another whole room full of robots.
You're going to be replaced, George.
The robot.
We're going to get robots. And we're going to replace lawyers with robots.
Gotta save some money with it.
And planners, guys who mess with land plans, robots.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this. I like the fact, and I have a lot of respect for everybody up here and everybody that throws their hat in the ring, because I know it's not an easy thing to do, and I know things that come up that are controversial. But I like the idea that you are representative of the voters in this district. And when it goes in front of PNC, it's an appointed body, and it's recommendations. And I think that there are situations, I just think it should come in front of the council, because that way they are responsible to the people that put them in there.
Thank you.
Does she need to identify herself, even though she just wrote it down?
Sorry. Yes. Maria Pihan, 104 West Mill Pond Drive, Selbyville.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on this?
Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. As you go back to the different boards with planning and zoning here in one meeting, different comments, then coming to you, like we said on numerous occasions, different things are said there that aren't said at the county council hearing versus the planning and zoning. If it comes down to every decision that planning and zoning puts on there for recommendation, if they say 8-5, you now got to make it 801 or 501 so you own it. Do you have to do different things that you assume, like going through with the regulations and the recommendations on their opinions? A lot of the stuff that you take care of, like every other people have said, is if you didn't have the planning and zoning recommendations, you would have assigned most of them, plus they added your own, for the public opinion. It's two different hearings. Planning and zoning, when you listen to that hearing and you listen to why they denied it, I looked at it as they're looking at their planning and zoning and taking out the ones who are voting and being voted in by the residents. They look at it differently. And it should always come back for a lot of this, because you've had a few hearings come back for conditionals with hours and different things that you've gone against the planning and zoning on numerous occasions. You don't agree with them all the time. You had one day where you denied a few applications that they recommended approvals for. Unless your planning and zoning matches you 100% the way that you recommend and vote, I would not stand on their opinion alone. You have too much objection opinions and different stances, and they're just a recommendation body for what they do, look at things, deal with some of the fine print. But you are the ones who make the final decision and do it all to your, how do I phrase it without being rude or ignorant, planning and zoning. You're the final one that makes the decision. Keep that, get that power to where it comes back to you all the time.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak?
Good morning. I think most of you know me. My name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown. As Mr. Robertson indicated when he was introducing this or describing it, I did speak at Planning and Zoning. I agreed with their recommendation that this change not be adopted. As I said at that hearing, I do have alternate language that I would propose if the council is so inclined to adopt something in this. I guess, but before I share that language, I wanted to go over, it's not just about there's certainly additional expense that's involved to each applicant, because if it's going to be treated as a new application, that's an application fee of $500. And let's use the example we just heard from Mr. Rieger. Let's say there was a person who came before the county council to ask for conditional use for something that the council was going to impose a set of hours for. And let's say that person thought at that time, let's say they were unrepresented, because my advice to this person would be to make those hours what you think they might be in the future, not what they presently are. But this person represents themselves. They come in and say, Right now, I usually, you know, get to this, I start this at 8:30, and I'm usually done at 3:30 or 4 o'clock. So let's say 4 o'clock, but whatever they're doing there works well, and it, as it turns out, they need an extra 30 minutes, but they're now they're running up against the condition of that conditional use. For that person to have to pay an application fee to get an extra 30 minutes, and for that person to have to wait, and this is going to sound critical, it's not a critical, there's a process, but I don't know what the current wait is, 6 months. 6 months to legally be able to have that extra 30 minutes that they were asking seems like that is a burdensome, needlessly burdensome process for a property owner. And that was the tenor of, my understanding of the tenor of Planning Commission when I was there, is there something about this, how it currently works, that's broken, that we're trying to fix, and nobody could articulate what exactly was broken that was trying to be fixed by this. And again, I have just painted a circumstance that's very sympathetic towards one side of this, but that's often what you see on conditional uses, I think, particularly with unrepresented parties who aren't as familiar with the land use process, that you're gonna see those types of requests. And to me, it's a cost factor as well as a timing factor. I assume that would still be in that right now it's a 6 month window, as folks like Mr. Cole and Mr. Burton, who have been here before, they know when that window was much longer. There was a time period when you would wait 18 months to get a conditional use heard. And so that would be a person who would have a choice to make. I can either be in violation of this relatively minor feature of the approved conditional use, or I just have to wait another 18 months to be able to undertake that. And again, while those would probably be short public hearings, if somebody was just doing something as simple as a time extension, it would still be that public hearing process. I guess for the sake of being complete, if the county is inclined to do this, I know, I think I've shared it with Mr. Robertson, I did have alternate language that I thought clarified some of the things. One thing in particular, there's a word that currently exists in the code that if there was a minor amendment, it would have no appreciable effect on adjoining or surrounding property. I sort of like that word because I don't believe that the word appreciable has a legal meaning, but I would change that to substantially different, which actually does have, the word substantially does have an actual legal meaning. So I'm here to advocate that I don't think there's anything broken that needs to be fixed, and I would ask the council to adopt the recommendation of the Planning Commission, and if not, I can submit to Mr. Moore
can I ask him a question?
Alternate language along the lines of what I just discussed.
Mr. Cole has a question.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Thank you.
I know you're in front of planning and zoning with an application. You make your presentation. And I know many times you've heard some complaints and some negatives and whatever. So then all of a sudden you modify and you change your application a little bit when you come in front of the county council. So they can hear sometimes something different than we've heard. So that's what concerns me. Again, and again, when we approve something, we basically own it. Is it possible if we just expedited? In other words, your concern, it seems to me, like it's going to, you know, if they fall under this ordinance, they're just going to take months, you know, to get addressed, and time is money, and we, that's what we're trying to help to fix here. So if we is it possible that we could expedite any of these types of issues, and they come on within, you know, 10 days, you know, whatever, or the next meeting or something like that? Is that correct? Somebody just passed me something. Has this got something to do with it?
That's his.
Oh, this is your version. Okay. Right. Anyway, I mean, is that a way to fix? So if we fix that, so is your main concern is the time it could take for something that's not a big deal,
basically? Time and expense.
Time and expense, okay. So is there a fix for that in your waving a pencil?
Yes, if we approved as written today, we could expedite the application with one caveat. It would still have to fall under our notice requirements. So it wouldn't be 10 days. But we could, the general sense is we have a 6 month wait if you go to the bottom of the line, right? Okay. If we take if it's an hour change, which is a easy amendment,
We could put you at the top of the line as long as it fits within the calendar, in other words, when council meets, and the notice requirements, which it takes us generally weeks to work with the newspapers and to publish the legal ad, the legal notice, to have that properly noticed in time for the public meeting. I would say we could expedite that to a month, not 6
days.
Months, 30 days, just because of...
I mean, 30 days and some little minor things, if you're in the midst of doing this subdivision, could be...
And most of that is due to the legal notice requirement. We need 20 days to get the ad to the newspapers, to run the ad, to make our 7-day window before the public hearing.
Well, ads are 15 days, right? I mean, you've got to get it to the ad. The ads are 15 days, and the public hearing is 7 days, I think.
It depends on
whatever it is. It's the timeline.
The undertaker to get up there and get
Ms. Corn, welcome. So now a person wants to change something that was part of their condition.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do right today?
If it, again, started with the Planning Commission and Planning Commission could amend it, they would submit a letter and we would get it on the next available agenda. Sometimes it's, you know, 2 weeks. We do not advertise because it doesn't require public hearing. So it could be 2 weeks, it could be a month, it could be a month and a half, depending on what we already have on the agenda. If we're going to expedite, I would suggest 45 days. Depending on the newspapers we need to use, it gives us a couple extra days to make sure we have enough lead time to get an ad prepped and sent to the newspapers, because we literally will send an ad to the newspapers almost 30 days in advance because of our timing for getting ads to run.
Well, we're newspaper in very quick then.
It depends.
The newspaper in very efficient, apparently.
We go to email.
They all have different
email.
Time deadlines and when they print. So
I wonder if the reporters are going to report that.
I guess the question is, Mr. Lawson, Mr. Moore, somebody. Well, then, for a minor change today, why does P&Z not have to advertise it and we do?
It's a legal position. The way the ordinance is written right now, it
does
not require
a public hearing.
Public hearing. The way it's
Let's
written,
write
as
it the
introduced.
Same way.
You know, to be honest with you, there is an argument about the entire process of changing any condition which is an ordinance itself,
right,
and not having it advertised and come here. You know, I've kind of wrestled with that.
I don't disagree with
and
that
Mr. Robertson and I have discussed this a
Let
lot.
Let me just answer a real quick, simple question. I thought back when Lawrence was here and stuff, like minor, subtle changes and stuff, the P&Z director, Ms. Cornwick, can make those decisions on conditions.
Not on site not plans, on, certain minor
site plans, but not on conditions of approval for RPCs or conditional
okay.
uses.
Uh-oh, what are you exposing?
No.
Me? No, I thought, I always assumed, I assumed that.
But yeah, there's a specific code provision right now that says that planning and zoning can do it without a public hearing.
I will say this for once, Mr. Hutt has a point.
But what Mr. Moore was referencing is these conditions were brought forth via an ordinance process, our legislative process. To undo or amend that legislative process takes another legislative process, which is a public hearing.
Sure.
It's we're tied into that per our authority under Delaware Code.
To me, it's common sense. I mean, to George's point and to even in, it just makes sense. I mean, if we are adopting an ordinance by law, right? If there is a change in that ordinance, it should have a public hearing. There's no reason why we can't bring it to the top of the pile based on the comments and this the minorness of it. And I would also offer the recommendation if we change the fee. This is not a new application, it's an adjustment. So to me, I think we should minimize the fee too. It's not new, it's a change. And if it's minimum, I don't think why I would take whatever the number is, $400 or $500.
You got to cover the advertising, though.
Well, no, I agree with that. I'm not disputing cover the expense, but I mean, I don't know what the current number is as it relates to. Is that this is not new? It's just a change. Is my point.
When we're required to advertise, it does state in the laws that we have to use newspapers. We couldn't use an alternative.
No.
Way of doing
it. No. It says papers of local circulation,
right.
some term like that. It is defined within Delco.
Okay.
Code.
Okay.
We need to find the fastest newspaper. It might be the Cokesbury Express.
That's right.
And we have to physically post it.
I think the Cokesbury Express is only online at this point.
Can we have a conversation with the publications that if they have a faster way of being able to accommodate our concerns.
I think one thing that possibly, you know, if the council adopts this, one of the things that the council needs to look at, is there some way that we can, any time that just put all amendments in a different category so they come up before you on a quicker basis instead of having to go through the process? Because what Mr. Hutt brought up was a very valid point. You know, you have people coming here oftentimes unrepresented, and things change, and they weren't sophisticated in trying to look forward. But if you have the amendments such that they come, you know, separately before the council as quick as possible.
Why don't we, and we're just going to be talking in circles, why don't we defer on this and regroup? Come back with some suggestions later on. I mean, is it critical that we have to do something today on this?
Well, no, I guess not, but I would say the discussions we're having are about implementation. That's
right,
about
right.
The administration of it, not right. The ordinance itself.
Right,
so
right,
the
right.
Scheduling
right.
Of things yeah. And how it's on an agenda
has nothing
to do with the ordinance. Same
right.
Thing.
That's correct.
The fee schedule, that's a separate matter that we'd have to do in a separate
But the attorneys are strongly counseling us that we ought to be doing this because it's
you're changing ordinance.
Right.
We're
yeah.
Changing
ordinance.
So
you're changing ordinance.
You'd have a hard time defending if somebody challenged something like this possibly because they changed it and we didn't.
I'm not going to go there.
Okay,
that,
but I'm just the possibility of
right from the standpoint of it's just not appropriate to have that kind of discussion
okay.
Here.
I got you.
But I've been hearing from council really
right.
For many years that if we're the ones we're adopting
no,
this
I,
as an ordinance
right.
And frankly I have a problem with the fact that it was literally passed as an ordinance to change an ordinance. You're supposed to have a public hearing
sure.
And do it by this body
right.
Not
okay.
By another body
right.
At a minimum our code and what's in Title IX are in conflict.
Yes.
So just to reaffirm the planning zoning denied it only because of the timeline concern. Is that a true statement?
About the extra fee.
And the fee.
Timeline
and fee.
The timeline and the process. So
got
that's
it.
What they, the concerns were.
And I think our concern, we have similar concerns.
But we can address that internally.
Vince, are we able to change the fee if this gets adopted today? Can we amend the fee in a different ordinance or is it
yes.
Administratively?
I think that's set out. The application fees are in the ordinance.
Okay,
so
we can come back for
yes.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's a concern of the
yeah.
Of the amount for a change.
Yeah. Mr. Burton, you have a question? Sir?
Yeah, I just think this is a the right thing to do. I never liked it when I was on planning and zoning, changing something that
didn't have a hearing.
That didn't have a hearing. And
but we
then,
didn't even know about
and
it.
And then you guys didn't know about
sure.
It. And you know, I think Mr. Hutt's comment on the time is one thing, but I think there's... You know, I can remember one that the applicant stated that he would he was doing auto repair or something, that he would keep the garage door closed. And you know, the neighbors all said, as long as he keeps the garage door closed, we're okay. And years later, he came back in and said, it's too hot in there. I got to leave the door open, right? And so it makes sense to me. So we changed it, right? And we upset what was... essentially proffered, in my opinion, but by you know, I didn't think that was right, and it certainly wasn't fair to you guys. So I think we ought to look at this, and I do think that a lot of the time ones are when the property really changes hands. All right, so the guy that originally came in said, I only want to be open from 9 to 3, and then he sells the property to somebody else, and the guy says, well, I want to be open till 5. Well, maybe you should come in and have a public hearing. So I think this is a good thing, and we ought to look at adopting it.
And I will add one other practical aspect to this, and this is for the public's benefit. We actually had one recently, which I'm not going to name, where some of the conditions originated at council, and some of the conditions originated at the commission. And so there was a real... bit of confusion on the public. How come these weren't considered at council? Well, half of them are done at the commission. This way, everything's treated the same. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone else that wanted to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close.
And we yeah. Can, Mr. Moore, Mr. Robertson, we can, council can, if down the road, we can amend our fees.
Yes, that would be by separate ordinance.
And our timing.
Yes.
But your point's taken.
Okay. So, okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. The public hearing is now closed.
Public hearing is now closed. Public comment's closed.
And I'll read the short title, an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 28 in Roman numerals, Sections 115-222, relating to amendments of prior approvals.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Arlett. Mr. Hutt's comment regarding the appreciable versus substantial, is that something we should consider changing? What are your thoughts on some of his proposed recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, so that word appreciable is currently in the code. I don't have any issue with it would be changed to has no substantially different effect on adjoining or surrounding properties. That's just sort of a correction of the existing code if you're inclined to do that.
So you think we should do that?
I mean, I agree with Mr. Hutt's position that substantially is more of a defined legal term than appreciable.
Okay. Well, if we're going to do that, then we need to withdraw your second, withdraw your motion.
Yes.
I will draw the second.
We will draw.
Now we'll have, if you'll read what we're going to amend, please.
So, yes, it would be in Section 115-222. Subsection E, which will be now D, the word appreciable is changed to the word substantially different.
Okay. Have a motion to approve that amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Obviously, motion carried. Now, Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title and amended.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending Article 28, Roman numeral Sections 115-222, relating to amendments of prior approvals as amended.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make a motion that we approve the thing.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mr. Arlett.
As amended.
As amended.
The Hutt amendment.
Questions on the motion?
Wherever be known.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes, yes, per the recommendations to include the Hutt amendment.
Mr. Burton?
Yes, to include the amendments.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes, I agree with the proposed ordinance.
I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Okay, the next matter before us is an ordinance relating to yard